Well, we've been going through this sermon series called Discipleship, which we just started last week. And if you missed last week's sermon, I encourage you to go find our YouTube channel or just go to our website and you'll be able to find a link to our YouTube channel and to listen to that sermon where we first talked about the basics of discipleship and we talked about the activities of what a disciple is supposed to do, which includes reading scripture, which includes prayer, which includes being devoted to meeting together with the people, with the church. And it also includes being willing to help other people within the church and outside the church. We talked about the basics of discipleship. Today, we're going to be talking about something called advanced discipleship. Some of you guys might be wondering what this is all about, especially maybe some of you that have been Christians for a long time, and you may be wondering, what is advanced discipleship? Well, we're going to talk about this today, and we want to understand what it means as a disciple to go from the basics of discipleship and then to go on to advanced discipleship. We're going to talk about what that is. We're going to talk about what that means. And again, in this sermon series, we're talking about discipleship, but specifically, what does it mean to grow as a disciple in community, together as a church? Okay? So we're going to be looking at multiple texts, but why don't we start off by looking at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to be starting in verse 18, and we'll go all the way to the end of the chapter. Again, if you have a Bible from the outside, a blue Bible, you can turn with me to page 835, but even if you don't have one of these Bibles from the outside, I want to encourage you, if you do have your own Bible, to open it up with me. We'll be referring to different passages, and sometimes I may not have it on the screen, and so please open up your Bibles with me. If you don't have one, that's okay. We'll do our best to display as much of the passages for you here. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll start in verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. It's the same passage from last week. And this is the idea of, it introduces the idea of making disciples. We need to be involved in making disciples. And it gives this command, this main command of making disciples, but at the same time, it explains what making disciples looks like. And it has this word go. So as you go, wherever you go, whatever you do, I want you to make disciples. This is what Jesus commands. But the way that you make disciples is that you baptize them and you also teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so as a part of discipleship, basics of discipleship includes learning and understanding what Jesus Christ has commanded, understanding what the gospel is all about so that you come to a point of baptism, but then from there you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and you continue to grow and you learn Jesus' command and you learn to observe his commands. You learn to obey. Now, I want to ask this question. What's the hardest thing about Christianity for you? Now, I understand that for a lot of us, we may have different answers. And I do talk with a lot of people, and I've talked with a lot of people over the many years of ministry. And I have discovered that there are different answers as to what people may think is the hardest thing about Christianity. Now, I'm just going to go through a series of questions here, and maybe some of these are the things that you would say is the hardest thing about Christianity. Some of them I throw in there just as a way for us to laugh together. Okay, so it's okay to laugh at some of these. All right. What's the hardest thing about Christianity? Is it that we have come to church? Like just coming to church? Is that the hardest thing? Or is it coming to church on time? Is it believing that God exists? Or is it believing that the Bible is reliable? Is it the fact that God is not visible? Just like my kids that say, especially one of my daughters that says, God exists, but I don't see him. I don't see him anywhere. I say, just close your eyes and pray, and you can ask God to help you to see him, understand who he is. And then my daughter closes her eyes and says, I still don't see him. Is it the fact that God is not visible, or that we face struggles? Is it that Christians are terrible at times, especially against you? Or is it that the pastors are terrible at times? What makes Christianity difficult for you? Perhaps the answer is, and there are multiple answers that people can give, but if we were to try to bring it to a particular answer, perhaps the answer is our own doubt. Perhaps the answer is our own selfishness. Perhaps the answer is our own pride. Now, before you make any objections, let's talk about this idea a little bit. Okay, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to see if it really is our own selfishness, our own doubt, or perhaps our own pride. The main idea for today is the same as last week, with just one more addition. The main idea for today is commit to learning and growing together in Jesus Christ all the way to maturity. And the three points that we're going to go through today are the distinction of maturity, number two, the determination for maturity, and number three, dependence as maturity. Okay, we're going to be talking about this idea of maturity, and we're talking about this idea of advanced discipleship. You know, I believe that if we are able to grow to have less and less doubt, if we're able to grow and have less and less pride, if we're able to grow and we become less and less selfish, what you may discover is that within Christianity, all those things that you felt were difficult and tiring and just not so great about Christianity, what you'll find is that you'll find more and more freedom, and you'll find that Christianity becomes less and less difficult. Life can be difficult, but Christianity in itself becomes less and less difficult, and it becomes something that actually frees you. So let's talk about this idea. How do we commit to learning and growing together in Jesus Christ all the way to maturity? Well, first of all, let's talk about the distinction of maturity. All right, so what is maturity versus what is basic? What is basic discipleship versus what is advanced discipleship? Let's talk about what is advanced discipleship. And the way that I'm going to talk about it is to say advanced discipleship means maturity in Christ. So how do we become mature? How do we get to this point of being a disciple that's beyond just the basics? How do we mature in Jesus Christ? Well, this idea does exist in Scripture. This idea of going from the basics to maturity is called sanctification. And if you don't know this word sanctification, that's all right. I'm going to define it for you. It just means becoming more and more holy. What does holy mean? Holy means different from this world, separated out, set apart from this world, so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And so, when we talk about basics versus advanced, what we're talking about is not just you are just basic or you are just advanced. We're talking about a growth, a process that a person goes through from just knowing a little bit about Jesus Christ, but as you grow and learn, you become mature in Jesus Christ. And this process is called sanctification. Becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, this is such an important idea. This is what Paul says about this idea of maturity. If you just type the word mature and you do a search in the whole Bible, especially the New Testament, if you do a search on this word mature or maturity, you'll find that this concept exists throughout the Bible. It says this in Colossians 1. It says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." What Paul is saying here is that the path for every believer, not just for certain people, maturity in Christianity is not just for those certain people that have more faith. This is a goal for every single person in the church. This is a goal. You know, last week we talked about the activities of a disciple. We talked about the basics of discipleship, reading the Bible, praying, making sure we commit to coming to church and gathering together and being a part of the life of the church. We talked about how we need to be helping people and loving other people as Jesus Christ loved us. We talked about all these basic activities of a disciple. But today what we're talking about is not what you need to do. What we're talking about is, what is our goal? What are we becoming here? You know, some people, they come to church every single week and they're thinking, what are we doing here? We just get together every single week and we just listen to a sermon. For what? What are we doing here? Well, what Paul says here is that we toil. We struggle. We do our best. We work hard at growing in Jesus Christ, at becoming more and more holy, being a part of this sanctification process, so that one day when Christ returns, we will present ourselves mature in Jesus Christ. This is what the author of Hebrews says. And this is a longer passage from chapter 5, verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 12. This is a longer passage, but this is a passage that talks specifically about this difference between those that are immature versus those that are mature in Christ. And it's not to say those that are immature are bad. Now, it is weird if you've been a Christian for 20 years and you're still an immature Christian. That would be a little weird. It's kind of like saying, my kids are grown up and I'm still changing their diapers and I'm still having to feed them with a spoon. And, you know, there are certain cases where some people, they do struggle with illnesses, where we do need to help them with that. But on a general level, it would be strange for me to have Timothy, my son, all grown up and I'm still changing his diapers, right? On a general level, that would be the case. And so here, this is a distinction between those that are immature versus those that are mature. Again, the goal is to become mature. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Paul is speaking to people that have been a part of the church for some time. The author of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you've been learning and growing for a long time. You ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child." Okay, so he describes here what it looks like to be immature. An immature Christian, or a Christian that's just starting off, is still trying to figure out what is right from wrong. One that is unskilled in the word of righteousness. They're still trying to figure out what is right from wrong. Again, if you are a new Christian, if you're just starting off, you don't have to think that immaturity is a bad thing. You're still growing. You're still learning about what the Bible says. You're still reading through the Bible, and you're still finding out what God has said. That's okay. But for those of us that have been Christians for a long time, and you're still struggling with understanding what's right from wrong, that's a sign of immaturity. And this is what the author of Hebrews is pointing to. Let's move on. It says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You see, a person that's mature in Christ has learned what is right from wrong. And they're also growing, continually growing in living out their lives in a good way and fighting against evil in their lives. And also, as they observe this world, they want to promote what is good in this world and they want to fight against what's evil in this world. And that may happen in your workplaces, that may happen in politics, that may happen as you vote for different policies that are put out there by the government. This will happen in multiple ways, but a sign of maturity is a person that's able to discern what is right from wrong as they grow and understand Jesus' commands. It goes on to say, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. What is this saying? This is basically saying that the basic principles or the basic ideas, the foundation that we should have about Christianity is that we are saved by Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We are not saved by what we do. That's basically what this is saying. And so, why does it mention these specific things? Well, the reason is because that people in the past, they've used these particular ideas to say that this is the way that I'm going to be saved. For example, I'm going to not understand that I am saved by Jesus' work, but rather I am saved by living a good life. And so the foundation is we need to repent from these dead works. We need to get away from these works that we're trying to do to make God happy and to say that because I've prayed today, because I've done my devotion, because I've read my Bible, because I'm nice to other people, that's why I'm a good person and that's why God is happy with me. God should bless me. I should have a comfortable life because look at how good of a person I am. That's a basic way of thinking, which is wrong. The basic way of thinking that is correct is to say, no matter how good I try to be, I will still have sin somewhere mixed in there. And the only way that I can be saved is only through Jesus Christ. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. It goes on and says, and this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Okay, I read through that very quickly, but here's the basic idea. A lot of people have some struggles with this particular passage, but let me just explain it in a very brief way. If you have more questions about it, please come and talk to me afterwards. Here's the basic idea. The basic idea is that there are some people in the church that continue to live their life as if they're not a Christian. They're in the church. They receive love from other people. They're able to hear God's word on a weekly basis. They are experiencing the life of the Spirit being a part of this church. They receive God's love trust in themselves. And yet, they still don't trust God. They trust in themselves. And what ends up happening is that the result is not a crop that's useful. The result is that thorns and thistles will come out. A person will eventually, even though they're enjoying being a part of church, they're going to eventually show that they are still jealous. They still hate. They cannot forgive. They are becoming angry at other people in the church. And they're becoming jealous and they're gossiping and they're doing all kinds of things to actually hurt the church. And they end up getting upset and they leave the church. And the Bible says that it's very difficult for these people to come back, and they are this close. And why is it this close? Because they still have a chance to repent. But if they don't repent, if they don't turn to Jesus Christ, then we know their destination. Their end is to be burned, is what it says. So I've listed this out for you. What does an immature Christian look like on a general level? What are some things that new believers struggle with sometimes? What are some things that people that have been Christians for a long time who are still immature struggle with? They struggle with doubt. They struggle with questions like, am I still saved? Am I forgiven? My sin was pretty terrible. Am I still forgiven? I just don't know. People that are immature believe that they are good because, wow, how did this get here? I'm going to set this aside. People believe that they are good and that they are able to be forgiven by God because they've made up some progress by doing some good works. Okay, now that I've gone to church, I think God will be happy with me and I think I'm going to have a good week. Now that I woke up in this morning and I prayed and I read the Bible, wow, I've done this. I haven't done this in a long time, and I've done this for the first time in such a long time. Now that I've done this, God's going to be okay with me and I'm going to have a good day. Okay, it's not to say that because you read the Bible, you're not going to have a good day. It's not that. But the idea, the thinking behind this is that because I've done something good, I expect God to do something good for me. That's an immature way of thinking. Some people still struggle with this question. Does God really love me? And some people, they struggle with the question is Jesus ever going to return? Is he ever going to make things right? Will he ever make things right in my life? What does a mature Christian look like? They're confident in Jesus, not in themselves. They're confident that Jesus Christ did die for their sins. And so, yes, they are forgiven. By the way, I know that there are some cultures here that think an exclamation point is one where you only use when you're angry. Okay? That's not what it means. This is an exclamation point of excitement. Yes, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Right? A mature Christian will keep going back to the gospel and keep thinking about how, yes, even though I've sinned, but I know that God has forgiven me because what Jesus Christ did. And no matter what I go through in my life, even if I'm struggling, even if there are these terrible things that are happening in my life, I know that it's not because I've sinned, but actually, as I go through it, it's because God is working something out, and I know that God is still good. No matter what I face in my life, I know that God is still good. A mature Christian, because they're keeping their eyes on the Lord, they're going to feel comforted, they're going to feel peace, and so they don't have to keep their eyes on their own needs and how they want a good life, and they can begin to look outside at other people, and they are the ones that are able to actually love other people, not judge other people. They're actually able to reach out and give their time to people. These are the people that are able to actually help other people, not for their own selfish reasons, but they actually help with a genuine heart. This is what a mature Christian looks like. They're able to be humbly confident. What that means is that they know that they are sinners and that they are saved not because of their good works, but they're only saved because of Jesus Christ. Because they realize that they still fall into sin, they're still humble. And at the same time, because they look to Jesus Christ, they are confident because Jesus Christ still loves them and has forgiven them. The goal for all believers is that we continue to grow and become mature in Jesus Christ. And so remember, we're reading that passage in Hebrews where it says, you know, there are some people that will leave the church and be a certain way. But then the passage goes on and it says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, believers that are here right now listening to the sermon, you don't have to doubt that you're an immature person and you're the one that's like, that God's going to judge. You don't have to think in this way. Remember, look to Jesus Christ. Yet, we believe that in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What mature Christians will do, and what the author of Hebrews is saying to the people, is that, you know what? I believe that though there are other people that may struggle in this way, but for you, I believe that there's something better. I believe that you are going to live differently. But as I believe that this is the case, let's all be earnest and strive for this together. Let's strive to grow together. Let's strive so that as we become imitators of those people, and remember last week when I talked about what discipleship is about, it's about imitating. Imitating Jesus Christ, yes, but as other people have imitated Jesus Christ, we imitate their faith. We imitate and we grow, and with patience, we wait upon the Lord and his promises that are going to come. So, how can we grow in this way? How do we continue to be sanctified? How do we continue to become more and more like Jesus Christ? We've seen this distinction between the two. But now what we want to do is we want to determine, we want to have a determination to grow. We want to have that earnestness. So how do we do that? We need to have this determination for maturity, just as the passage said to us. All right. So, just as a way of summary, basics of discipleship is about knowing and believing the gospel. It's growing in the knowledge of who God is and beginning to believe that that is true. What is advanced discipleship then? It's being confident of the gospel, and they are obedient and live out what they believe. Okay, it's about really living out the things that Jesus commanded us, taking it seriously. Not just coming to church just because that's been your habit for your whole life, but coming out to church because you really are wanting to put into practice what you're being taught. This is what Paul says. Paul says in chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 16, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You see, he says, by any means possible, I'm going to strive for this thing. He goes on to say, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. Okay, this is really important that Paul says this. Paul the apostle, the great apostle, said this. What does this mean? What it means is that as much as we're striving, what we want to keep in mind is that nobody is perfect. Even myself, I've been a Christian for many years. I've been to church since I was a baby. But at the same time, I came to really believe in Jesus Christ and really began to live for him myself for over 30 years. Even a person like me, I'm not bragging. What I want to say is this. I still sin. I still fall into sin. And so I want to be clear. Even if we talk about mature Christians, advanced discipleship, what I'm not saying is that you won't sin anymore. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that there is something more about maturity that we need to think about, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to sin anymore. Even Paul said it. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. This is the determination for maturity, wanting to grow. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, again, this idea of striving is going to come up, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let those who are mature think in this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, if you are not mature, God will reveal that also to you. God will reveal to you that you need to continue to grow in the Lord. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Okay? God has already led you to the point where you are now. You don't have to be jealous that you're not as mature as someone else. God has brought you to where you are now. Be thankful for that. And as you are thankful that God has brought you to the point that you are now, continue to strive on, because the Lord will work in you through that process. Now, as we think about this, I want to ask that question again. What makes Christianity difficult? And the reason why Christianity is difficult, I've said already, is perhaps because of our own pride, our own selfishness, and our own doubt. Why might we have these doubts and selfishness and pride? What is causing that? Well, listen to what Paul says in the beginning of the passage that I just read. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You see, when we grow and we become more and more like Jesus, when a person becomes more and more mature in Jesus Christ, what this means is that a person will face struggles. A person will have a desire to want to share in Jesus Christ's sufferings, to identify with Jesus Christ in the way that he went to the cross for our sins. It doesn't mean that we're going to hang on a cross, but what it does mean is that every time you go through a struggle in your life, a mature believer will look at that struggle and will say, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to identify with you. That's crazy. Again, let me say that one more time to help you understand how crazy this thinking is. Anytime you go through a sickness, anytime you go through a breakup if you're single, anytime you're struggling in your relationship, anytime you're struggling at work, a Christian, a mature Christian will look at that situation and will say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to go through this. I am glad that I'm going through this because I get to share in your sufferings. Lord Jesus, you went through the suffering to demonstrate your love for me. I am willing to go through this suffering to demonstrate my love for you and for other people. It can even be like this. When someone hurts you and continues to hurt you by their bad attitude, by the words that they use, and maybe you're a little bit sensitive person, maybe you're not, but there's a person that continues to hurt you, and you say, as a mature Christian, I am willing to forgive that person, even though it hurts the way that they keep hurting me. But I am willing to forgive that person and go through that hurt because of how Jesus Christ demonstrated his love for me. I am going to demonstrate love to that person, forgive that person, and continue to move towards that person no matter how much it hurts. because this is what Jesus Christ did for me. This is what mature Christianity is about, and that's crazy. This is not how the world thinks. But I'll tell you this. If this is what Christianity is about, and if somehow all the world became Christian, I'll tell you, this world will change to become a world of peace. The fact that we are still living in a world of war is because most people in this world, they don't have this understanding of what it means to become more and more like Christ, to be willing to face suffering in order to show love to someone else. An immature believer will respond to difficulties in a different kind of way. When they go through a difficulty, they will say, I think it's because I didn't do my devotions this morning. An immature Christian, when they face struggles, they will say, I think it's because I sinned and I didn't confess a certain sin yet. I need to discover what that sin is and make sure I confess that sin. An immature Christian will say, when they face those struggles, they will say, maybe it's because God doesn't love me anymore. And eventually, what a person might say is, I'm not sure I'm a Christian anymore. And that's what that book of Hebrews is talking about, where a person will show those thistles and thorns, and they'll leave the church. And maybe they won't come back, but hopefully they will. Hopefully they will. But that's the difference. Now, we want to grow. We want to be determined to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that idea of being a mature Christian might sound really difficult, but we want to continue to look to Jesus and strive in that direction. But here are some pitfalls of that kind of determination. Sometimes when we're really determined to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes what ends up happening is that there is a determination, but it's determined in a wrong kind of direction. And there are these pitfalls. Either we might fall into this idea of selfishness, or we might fall into this idea of legalism. What is selfishness about? When I go through a struggle, I am determined to get a blessing. When I go through a struggle, I'm determined to make sure that things in my life will work out so that I feel comfortable again, so that I feel like things are okay in my life again. I am determined for my own safety. I'm going to work towards my own safety. I am determined to make my life comfortable. I'm determined to make my life convenient. I'm determined to get out of this struggle. That's selfishness. Because the idea is I am looking out for what I want. I want to make sure that my life is going to feel comfortable and okay. And I want to escape my struggle. And so a lot of times what ends up happening when you're determined to make sure that you're okay, and you kind of code it in a way of saying, well, that's what God wants for me, isn't it? That's what God wants me. God wants me to be happy and to have a comfortable life, isn't it? This is the trap that some churches that we might call the prosperity gospel churches, those that talk about health and wealth and say that that's all that God wants from you, this is the trap that they fall into. People depend on the ability to escape their difficulty, rather than really depending on the Lord in that moment. And people expect to feel safe away from difficulties. But there's another pitfall. Another pitfall is legalism, where a person is determined to save themselves. Again, when they're facing the struggle and they're thinking, well, maybe because I'm not doing something right, maybe that's why God's allowing these things to happen in my life. And so they go and they're trying to read the Bible like crazy. Am I not doing something spiritual? Or they go and they attend every single church activity. They go to every single community group. They pray like crazy. But their only prayer is not, Jesus, thank you. Their only prayer is, Jesus, I want to get out of my suffering. And that's legalism. Because a person is determined to save themselves somehow by their activities, by what they're doing. They're determined to save themselves. They depend on the performance of the basics. Prayer, reading the Bible, attending church, helping other people, being a good person. And they expect blessings based on their good works. You see, this is very different from the way that mature Christians are. It's not selfishness. It's not legalism. Rather, what we find as Christians, growing Christians, is that we find more and more a dependence on Jesus Christ. We see more and more, the top line there is we have a growing awareness of God's holiness. And we see how great God is, and we know that He's good, and we know that He's powerful, and we need to grow in that direction. But at the same time, what we grow in is we grow in awareness of our own flesh. We grow in awareness of our own sinfulness and how far we fall short of God's glory. And so we say, I'm not able to save myself. I need you, Jesus, in my life. And the more you realize God's holiness, the more, I have to do it in the same direction as the picture. The more you grow in God's holiness and the more you grow in understanding your own sinfulness, the more you will grow in understanding how big and how important Jesus Christ is in our lives. And this is not just the day that you came to believe, but this is every single day of our lives as Christians. Maturity happens when we depend on our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is Paul speaking. But he said to me, this is Jesus speaking to Paul. But he said to me, my grace, all that I give to you is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the way that we grow in maturity is that we need to be determined to depend on Jesus Christ. It's not about being determined to do all these activities as a Christian. It's about, I want to lean upon Jesus more and more and more. And so let's talk about this last one. Dependence as maturity. We need to look to Jesus. Why? We need to, as disciples, we want to imitate Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? Jesus said himself in John 4:34, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You see, for Jesus, the most important thing, the thing that gave him energy, the thing that gave him satisfaction, the thing that helped him every single day is the will of the Father and doing his will. Accomplishing his work. His food, he says. You know, we talk about being satisfied in the Lord all the time here at our church. Let's see what Jesus said. Jesus says, my food is to do God's will. So whenever I think about this passage, one little thing that I try to think about here and there is, before I eat anything, before I drink anything, in the day, as soon as I wake up, before I eat, even if my first meal is at 11 a.m., some of you eat breakfast at 11 a.m., right? Even if my first meal is at 11 a.m., I am determined to depend on the Lord by looking to His Word and discovering what His will is for me. I am going to make a commitment to read my Bible because His Word is food for me, because my spiritual life and my sustenance in my spiritual life is more important than my physical life. Jesus also showed his dependence on the Lord in this passage. Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance." You see that determination there? "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." What did Jesus do? He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy of being with the Father, knowing that he's going to rise again from the dead, knowing that he will be with his people one day, that joy of being with the Father and fulfilling his work, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus was determined to fulfill God's work. And because he did that, he was willing to go through the suffering. And because he was willing to go through the suffering, that's why we as Christians are saved. But what allowed him to go through that suffering? The reason why he was able to go through that suffering was because he was dependent on the Father. He depended on the Father all throughout. He continued to look to the Father in prayer. And as he was dependent on the Father, that gave him the strength to go on. It's kind of like how a marathon runner, they're tired at the end of the race. They're doing their best. They're striving, but they're tired and they find it hard. But on the side, you see all these people that are cheering the person on. And they're kind of depending on the people around them to give them that encouragement. And even though it's just so hard to finally cross that finish line, but they have that energy and the strength to move on because they're getting all the encouragement from the people around them to go on and to keep going. In the same way, Jesus Christ, as he depended on the Father was saying, "I'm giving you everything that you need to encourage you to go through every suffering that you will go through." And so Jesus Christ, he was able to accomplish the work. And we want to imitate Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we now, who put our faith in Jesus Christ, have a relationship with our Lord, who is the not only the founder of our faith, but he's working in our lives to perfect our faith. He is with us. He is with you through your valley. He is with you through your suffering. He is with you, and he will encourage you and strengthen you and give you everything you need to take your next step. You don't have to try to mature on your own. Jesus is there helping to mature you all along the way. So let's turn our eyes to Jesus. And I want to share with you, how do we at our church specifically encourage maturity? How do we encourage sanctification, growing in the Lord? Well, we want to encourage you to continue in the basics, reading God's word, prayer, committing to gathering together, being a part of the life of the church, being a person that loves God and loves others, helping people out there. But also, in our community groups, we have this thing called accountability. It's a great way to share deeply about what's going on in our lives, and we encourage each other. We also share our struggles with one another, and we're able to grow together. You see, growing does not happen on your own. Growing happens when we are in community together. Just like how I can't see my nose. Well, sometimes I can see my nose somehow. I don't know. But just like I can't see my mouth. Sometimes people are able to see them. Sometimes, you know, I can't see my eyebrows, right? And just the way that I can't see my eyebrows, and where sometimes something's stuck in my eye, or sometimes something's stuck in my hair, or sometimes I have something that's still on my face, just as I can't see it, I need someone else to help me see what's going on in my life. And so we need each other. We need to have that accountability. We need to support one another. We need to practice dependence. Also, we have pastoral counseling. If you need counseling, if you need help to think through a certain topic, I'm available for you. We have people at our church that are available for you to talk through these things. We have a group of people that pray together for you. And the way that we encourage maturity in this church is that whenever there's people around us that are in sin, that are not very kind, whenever people are just new and they have no clue about Christianity, what we want to do is we want to understand them without any kind of judgment. And this is how we encourage maturity, for people to continue to grow. We don't want to look down on them because they don't realize. We want to encourage them to continue to grow. And so I want to encourage you guys now. I showed this last week. We had about 150 people in this room, and only about 30 people filled out this thing. I want to encourage you. Be a part of the life of the church in discipleship by filling this form out, and let's figure out how we can grow together in the Lord. Let's strive together. And so you can scan this QR code. If you don't get it this time around, just remember FPC Discipleship. The link is in there from last week. If you don't have it and you forgot about it, I'm going to send the link again on Tuesday this week. Okay? Fill it out. Let's work towards discipleship. And as I gather all this information, we're gonna put together a new discipleship program. We're going to have additional discipleship programs, and we're gonna grow together. And so if you're wanting to be a part of this, please join in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we don't have to depend on ourselves to mature in our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we know that you're working in our lives to mature and grow us. And Lord, we want to do that by depending on you, by looking to the gospel over and over to see how Jesus Christ suffered for us. Lord, may we also grow in this way for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.